Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Ephesians chapter 3 is a remarkable chapter in all of Scripture, for it tells us that the immeasurable, unsearchable, and unlimited Christ has now become so close, so intimate, and so personal to us that He is actually making His home in our hearts. This chapter also tells us that this one is unsearchably rich. In fact, it's by our experiencing Him in these unsearchable riches that bit by bit, day by day, He is able to spread Himself into all the regions of our inner being. This is the Christ that Paul presents to us in Ephesians, and it is the very Christ that Paul himself experienced and described in many of his other epistles. We will consider the unsearchable riches of Christ on our program today, and Ed Marks has joined us once again. Always good to have you, Ed.
Chris, it's good to be here, especially for this program. I think will be a great practical help to our listeners on how we can experience Christ. Chris, this phrase, actually it's from Ephesians 3:8, where Paul says that his commission was to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. That is a tremendous phrase, and we need to be those who experience these unsearchable riches and dispense them into others for their enjoyment. And this program will really help us in this, Chris.
Yeah, and let's talk for just a minute about how Paul continues in chapter 3, because he goes on then to link it in context to this matter of Christ spreading or dwelling or making His home in our hearts. In 16 and 17, it says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. And so he picks up riches from verse 8, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make His home in your hearts. What about this connection?
Yeah, Chris, this is marvelous that you pointed this out, because it's in the same chapter. In verse 8, you have the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is chapter 3. Then, like you pointed out, in verse 16, he prays, and we need to pray, Lord, strengthen me into my inner man according to the riches of your glory. So here you have the word riches again, Christ's riches. And what happens is when we pray this prayer, Christ has a way to make His home in our hearts. That's in our mind, our will, our emotion, and our conscience. And all the riches of His person get dispensed into our heart so that we're filled with Him and we express Him. And Chris, when we hear Brother Lee in this upcoming portion, we'll see how this can take place.
It really is a wonderful message before us, Ed. I'm looking forward to hearing it again. I got to hear it a little bit as we were preparing for the program, and now we have the pleasure, as always, and the honor to bring this to our listeners. In this message, Witness Lee will carry us from Ephesians into some of Paul's other writings to reinforce this point about experiencing these riches of Christ. And he'll begin, of course, in 2 Corinthians, a marvelous chapter on grace, a chapter that we will hear Watchman Nee dub as Paul's autobiography. And one verse that will be brought out today is in chapter 3 of that book, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. Here's Witness Lee.
In Ephesians chapter 3, firstly, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then we have this Christ making His home in our heart. Whenever we think about Christ making His home in our heart, we have to realize, oh, it is such a rich Christ with the unsearchable riches making His home in our heart. No doubt we can realize that by this way all His unsearchable riches are for our enjoyment. Day by day, hour by hour, we have to enjoy all his riches. I just picked some items of the riches of Christ from one book, from 2 Corinthians. You know, 1 Corinthians deals mostly with the matter of gifts. But in 2 Corinthians, it deals with grace. Generally speaking, the gifts are outward and the grace is inward. The gifts are something that we can do, but the grace is something that we are, that we enjoy. So the grace is something deeper, more subjective. It's 2 Corinthians that says, we are being transformed. I tell you, to be gifted is one thing. To be transformed is another thing. You know, one day, out of a sudden, the donkey spoke human language to the heathen prophet, Balaam. Wasn't that wonderful? Wonderful gift. It's so fast and so complete. Just like this, in the twinkling of an eye. Marvelous. But as to the transformation, transformation. Look at your little child. Every morning he looks about the same as yesterday. Am I right? Transformation by growth is really a slow thing. Right? This is why in the 2 Corinthians, it is in chapter 1, you have a lot of sufferings. For the gifts, you don't need to have the suffering. The donkey spoke human language without any suffering. But for your transformation, for your growth with Christ, there is the need of the suffering. So in this book, you do not only have the grace of Christ, but you have also the suffering of Christ. Oh, the suffering of Christ matching the grace of Christ produces the transformation.
Ed, what a wonderful comparison here between the miraculous gift and this transformation process that's wrought into us, a slow day-by-day process of life. I happened to read a verse this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read it and then just sort of hand the baton to you if that's okay on this point. In this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might tabernacle over me." This matter of suffering being related to transformation. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Chris, this is a marvelous verse that you read from 2 Corinthians, which I'm glad you read. I'd like to comment on this. First of all, Chris, what I'd like to mention to our listeners is this matter of transformation. We need to be transformed. You know, as believers, we were regenerated in our spirit. We were born again. Then when Christ comes, we'll be glorified in our body.
Right.
This takes place in an instant, both of this, with our spirit and our body. But in between our spirit and our body is our soul, our mind, will, and emotion. And this is where we need transformation. We need Christ to spread into our mind, will, and emotion. This is our Christian life. Our Christian life is a life of being transformed. Now, how can we be transformed? Well, it's like Brother Lee pointed out, Chris, and this verse you read is we need to enjoy Christ as grace in the midst of our sufferings. Firstly, we need to realize that grace is actually Christ himself. If you look in Vine's Expository Dictionary, it tells us that the Greek word for grace means something that causes or occasions pleasure or delight. So this shows us that grace is actually Christ himself enjoyed by us. We need to enjoy Christ every day, you know, by contacting him, praying to him, loving him, experiencing him. But we do this in the midst of suffering, and this is our environment. Chris, I'd like to mention a story that Watchman Nee shared that really helped me. He was in the midst of some suffering and some problem in his life, and he was asking the Lord to remove it, just as Paul was
yeah.
there. And Watchman Nee said that the Lord gave him a picture of a boat going down a stream, and there was this gigantic boulder in the midst of the stream, and the boat couldn't pass. And the Lord kind of asked Watchman Nee, you know, this was kind of a picture of his situation. Do you want me to remove the boulder or increase the level of the water? And then Brother Nee realized that the Lord, he isn't in the boulder removing business. He's in the grace increasing business. And so the boulder stays in the Lord's sovereignty many times, but he increases the level of Christ within us and the level of the divine life within us, the level of grace within us, and that's what transforms us. And transformation is a great miracle, Chris. It's a great, great miracle when you see someone who first gets saved and then you see them change inwardly, not
right.
just outwardly,
right.
but a divine metabolic change from within, where the divine element is added to that person and the natural element is discharged. And they just express Christ. That's a great miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it takes place, according to 2 Corinthians. Grace in the midst of suffering.
I'm so glad you relayed that story, Ed. I remember that story, and I think that has helped not only you, it's helped me and countless others. That's really vintage Watchman Nee, that kind of illustration. And what we have before us in this coming portion is some vintage Witness Lee to help make very real and very practical just how to experience these riches of Christ, unsearchable riches that really are grace to us as we enjoy Him. And let's join him for that.
In this book, Paul enjoyed the riches of Christ. You know, the items of the riches of Christ, some are big, some are not that big. What are the big items? For instance, Christ is God. Isn't this big? Christ is the Creator. Isn't this big? And Christ is the Son of God. And Christ is the Redeemer, the Savior. And Christ is even the Father. And Christ is the life-giving Spirit. My big items. You have also the light, the life, the love, the power, the holiness, the righteousness. You have all these big items. But I hope all of us may have the mercy to not just know these items, but to experience, to enjoy all the riches of Christ. I would remind you, there's one verse that tells you how to enjoy the riches. The Lord is rich unto all that call upon His name. His riches is not for you to learn. His riches is not for you to study. His riches is for you to enjoy. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is the way for us to enjoy all the riches of the Lord.
Yeah, all these marvelous, extraordinary things that Christ is in His being, these items of His riches. Yet this very simple way, he read this verse in Romans chapter 10, the Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. Simple way to really experience Him in so many items.
Yes, Chris, we're talking about Christ in His unsearchable riches. And we may think, oh, this is so deep, so high. How can I experience this unsearchably rich Christ? Well, Chris, this, to me, it's like the ocean. You know, the ocean is so vast, so deep, but it's simple to experience the ocean. You can get a boat and go out in it, you go fishing in it, you can go swimming in it. You might not understand it, but it's very simple. And, you know, using this illustration, the Lord has made it very simple for us to experience Him. How can we experience His riches? Romans 10:12 says He's rich to all who call upon Him, who call upon His name. Now, this word call means that we're invoking a person by name. So to enjoy the Lord, Chris, we need to call on the Lord. We need to say verbally with our heart and with our spirit, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I need you. And by calling on him again, he's rich to all who call upon him. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:3, the last part, Chris, it says that no one can say, Lord Jesus, except in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What a promise that is. So even right now, as you're driving, you're cooking, you're listening, wherever you are, you can say, Lord Jesus. Just say his name out loud. And he's very real to you. To call on him is to invoke his person. Chris, there's another verse in the Bible that I really like. It's Numbers 20:8, where the picture here is the rock in the wilderness. That rock was cleft. In the New Testament, Paul says this rock was Christ. The Lord told Moses after the rock was cleft to speak to the rock, and then the waters would flow. In the same way, we need to speak to Christ every day, and then he'll flow within us. So every day we need to tell the Lord and call on his name and converse with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I need you. Always call on his name. And even you can speak to him in prayer by naming his name. This is the way he can be rich to you. It's very practical and very precious.
Oh, that is both practical and precious, Ed. Earlier on, we mentioned that Watchman Nee has categorized this book of 2 Corinthians as Paul's autobiography. We're going to touch that in this final segment today. And a couple of verses that really tell us or give us a window into how Paul lived and how he experienced this unsearchably rich Christ are contained in this book. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, "But whom you forgive anything, I also forgive, for also what I have forgiven. If I have forgiven anything, it is for your sake in the person of Christ." And then in 12:10, "Therefore I am well pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses on behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am powerful." This is the kind of living that the Apostle Paul sets as a pattern for all of us. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In 1940, Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, gave us a lot of messages from 2 Corinthians. He told us that in this book, you don't have the gift, but you have the ministry composed, constituted by the experience of the grace of Christ. And Watchman said, this second book of Corinthians may be considered as Paul's autobiography. It is in this book that you can see what kind of life the Apostle Paul did have. And the life he had was a life all the time experiencing Christ. He was a person taking Christ as his person. There's only one kind of work that can avail to build up the body of Christ, that is the work of a person that lives in the person of Christ. Yes. It is not a matter of power. No, it is a matter of living, of life. This is not just a kind of behavior. This is life. All the riches of Christ are the fullness of the inclusive spirit. Within the all-inclusive spirit, there is the meekness. There is the gentleness. When we turn to our spirit to contact him, to take him as our person, his meekness becomes ours. His gentleness becomes ours. Many of us would always say, oh, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I can do nothing. I am so weak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah that you are awake. It is in your weakness that the strength of Christ is made perfect. Amen. So what? So your weakness is just an opportunity for you to enjoy Christ's strength. Learn to enjoy Christ. Learn to enjoy the items of the riches of Christ. So Paul said, I rather boast or to glory in my weakness. Whenever I'm weak,
I am strong. Because the power, the strength of Christ is made perfect in my weakness. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul was a person enjoying Christ's riches all the time. This is what we need today, to enjoy the riches of Christ.
Boy, Ed, here's a picture of a man who did not live by miraculous gift, but lived in everything in the person of Christ. Even when if he was to forgive you, it wasn't him forgiving in a sense. It was forgiveness in the person of Christ. It's an incredible picture, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris, you know, just to emphasize what Watchman Nee referred to this as Paul's autobiography. You know, Brother Lee has a marvelous book, you know, published by Living Stream Ministry, called The Autobiography of a Person in the Spirit, which is an exposition of 2 Corinthians, which I can testify has helped me very much. But Chris, this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:10, is so powerful because this shows that Paul did everything in the person of Christ. And this Greek word for person can be translated as presence or face. So see, when Paul did things, he did everything in the presence of Christ, in the index of Christ's eyes. You know, when you do something, you can always tell what a person is feeling and what's in their being when you look into their eyes. Like a husband and a wife, for instance. I know my wife, I can just look at her eyes and tell if she's happy with me or sad with me or,
right,
or
right.
upset with me.
That's right.
So when we turn our hearts to the Lord and we're living in the index of his eyes, and he's infusing us with his thoughts and feelings, that's when we're taking him as our person, Chris. This is wonderful. And Chris, if you go to chapter 3, the key to this is that we turn our hearts to the Lord. Because it says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then we're beholding and reflecting him with an unveiled face. That means the veil is off of our heart, and we're looking at him face to face, you know, in the spirit. And in this way, he's infusing us with his thoughts and feelings, and we actually reflect his thoughts and feelings to others. And this is how we're transformed. This is just so awesome to me, Chris.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. It's just by saying, Lord Jesus, I turn my heart to you. While our hearts are turned to him, spontaneously, he's transforming us. We're taking him as our person, and we're expressing him.
Wonderful.
It is too great.
It is too great. What a marvelous portion today, Ed. A life study that I think is priceless. We only have a week and a day left in the life study of Ephesians, covering 97 messages. We're doing it in 75 programs, and that means we have 1 week to go, Ed, and we hope we can get you back before we finish this book. I know this book is a real, a very special one for you, as it is for, I think now, probably most of our listeners.
It is, Chris. I believe Ephesians, you can call it the highest. It is the highest revelation in the New Testament. Just remarkable. And I'm looking forward to returning for this final segment of Ephesians.
Okay, this is the Life Study of Ephesians. It's a 3-volume set if you would like to get it in print form. And we would highly recommend it. What a treasury. What a resource for the rest of your Christian life. You will honestly come back to these portions and really get benefit from them each and every time. There's been a lot of new light for me as we've gone through this book this time. Having heard all of these messages and read them before, I've been amazed day by day how fresh it's been. If you'd like to find out about getting this set, you can call us toll free. That's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Also, feel free to ask about this book Ed mentioned in the program, An Autobiography of a Person in the Spirit, an exposition of 2 Corinthians by Witness Lee. So ask about that also when you call. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Join us again tomorrow. We'll wrap up this next to the last week in our life study of Ephesians. For Ed Marks today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
To be the house.
The Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the types of Christ conveyed in the Old Testament tabernacle and offerings. The reality of the five main offerings in Leviticus serve as the examples in the first 12 chapters of John, and in chapters 13 through 17, the Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the type of the tabernacle. The fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in the writings of John is now available. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-549-5164.